You were born here in Napa?
Napa.
In January 16th,
1894?
95.
Yeah.
Record book says 94.
Yeah.
So how old are you?
Older than I really am.
83, are you?
83, yeah. 83 last January.
Did your family always live here? Or
Yes, we all lived here.
Yeah. And did your father play ball? Or?
No. Yeah. He was a farmer.
I see. Where did his father come from, someplace else?
Italy. He came from Italy.
Oh, he
himself,
was?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. How did he happen to settle out here, I wonder?
Well, this is a wine country, you know, and there's a lot of Italians settled here from Italy. Lots of them. Uh-huh. And you find, if you look through the phone book, you see a lot of Italian names, fourth and fifth generation. Now. That's time we used to have, at least I can think of five hotels that were run by Italians, four Italian people. See, they worked in the vineyards and the fruits and the canneries.
Where'd you first play ball? Did you have a satellite ball around here?
Oh yeah, right here. We had a little team called the Alta Heights. We used to play with opponent was St. Helena, and Dutch Juni was one of them. St. Helena, he was also a ball player professional afterwards.
Juni,
J-U-N-E-Y, he's dead now, he's been gone quite a little while. Yeah, this is around 1906 and 7 and 8, when we were kids.
What position did you play in those days?
First base, always
first base. Yeah. Did you have a high school here in Napa?
Yeah.
Did you play in the team there?
Yeah.
Did you have a team?
Caught without a mask one day, and that finished me for catching.
What happened?
That hit in the eye.
Why didn't you have a mask?
We didn't have any masks.
Is that right?
We didn't have any. Yeah. Or at least if they forgot it, I don't know.
And you went out of St. Mary's, right?
St. Mary's, yeah.
What did you plan to do at St. What was your major field? Did you have anything
in
particular?
Well, I was in the banking at St. Mary's. So they had a course there, a banking course. I took that, and then I went into baseball.
Mm-hmm. They had a pretty good team there today.
Same night, yeah. Yeah, we had a pretty good team. We used to play the Coast League during spring training.
Did you ever beat them?
Once in a while. I don't think we ever did while I was playing, but the team before me did, because they had some pretty good players. Like Tiny Leonard and Dutch Leonard.
Only Dutch Leonard.
Yeah.
Did,
in fact, they beat the Red Sox 2-1. I think he beat them 2-1. When they come out, they were training out here. So.
Did you play ball all year round out here in the good weather, or most of the year?
Yeah, most of the year we played all.
I noticed in the recent draft choices, so many of them come from the West Coast.
Oh sure. Yeah. The weather is so, you know, you can play most every day.
What year did you finish up at St. Mary's then?
Sixteen.
Graduated. 16. And who signed you for Cleveland? Remember?
Two of the students at St. Mary's. Not for Cleveland, but for Portland. That's where I started, Portland.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Mr. Bernard, he was the vice president of Cleveland. Right. He came out.
I mean, to see you?
No, to see the manager of the Portland club. I didn't know anything about it, you know.
Is this McCready running Portland then?
Yeah, Walter McCready.
Oh, McCready, yeah.
His uncle, I think, was the president.
So the St. Mary's students recommended you?
Two of them. Both of them. They're both alive, too.
Yeah. Portland signed you then?
Yeah.
And that was your first year in pro ball?
That's first year.
1916? How'd you? Was it a pretty big thrill going up there to the Coast League?
Yeah. I can't remember very much of it now. Yeah, of course it was thrill. We were at spring training. Sacramento, the three of Charlie Holliker, Carson Bigby, and myself, the three of us. They didn't have very many, what they call bushes in those days, you know. Just a few of us. And it's funny, part of the three of us went up to the big league.
Holliker
was with
the Cubs.
Yeah, oh, he's a good one, too.
What happened? Something went wrong with him.
Yeah, he just thought he was sick, and he was, he was a beautiful player.
Yeah, there used to be pictures of him in the Sporting News, I guess, when he just went up about the great future, you know.
Yeah.
Bigby had some pretty good years
of Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So Bernard signed you then, is that right?
Yeah.
And did you get much money from Cleveland?
Not very much.
Did you go, did you join the team then, the end of the season?
Not the end of the season, during the season.
Oh, during the season.
In August, I think it was. Met him in Chicago.
Who was their first baseman?
Gando.
Oh, Chip Gando.
Yeah.
He's from around here, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just died recently. He was in Calistoga. His home was Berkeley, I think.
Oh, I see.
Originally from Berkeley. He was a good ball player.
Yeah. And so you got a few games in 16?
Yeah, a few, not very many. And the war came on, and that finished it.
Well, did you go to training in 17?
Yeah.
Down in
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
You got in, it says here, about 73 games that year.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, but you got to be playing every day. That game, you got to be playing every day. You can't be one day to the other, you know.
Lee Fall managing the team?
Right? Yeah, Lee Fall.
How'd you like
him? I liked him very much. Mm-hmm. And after the speaker was
there. I guess I heard, who was it? George Uly or somebody told me that the speaker used to really call the shots almost from center field occasionally for Fall on the bench. Like pitcher changes, along with speakers. So, all you had was Jack Rainey with him then?
Jack Rainey was there, yeah.
And
Steve O'Neill?
Wambi was there.
Yeah. Wambi, Joe Wambi. Yeah.
He's practically a neighbor of ours.
Joe Sewell. Well, Chapman was there first.
Right.
And Joe Sewell.
Barry Gardner.
Yeah. I was thinking about it last night. I saw a little of the pitch on the television. When he'd catch the ball, he'd look at it before he threw it. Yeah. I don't know what he was doing, but he'd always get it there ahead of him.
The manager. And how about Kovaleski?
Yeah, Sammy was there.
He's still going strong.
Yeah, we interviewed him out in
Sammy?
South Bend. Yeah.
Well, he lived in Manuka?
South Bend,
yeah.
Indiana, yeah.
He used to live in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Shamokin.
Shamokin, yeah.
He goes
O'Neill's
fishing.
O'Neill's from Manuka.
Yeah, that's right. Kovaleski goes fishing every day in the good weather.
Yeah.
We saw Joey Sewell last year down in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Just the week before he went up to the Hall of Fame.
What happened to Luke?
He's in good shape. He's in Akron, Ohio. Oh. I spent a morning with him a couple years ago. Yeah, he's very nice to talk to.
Yeah, they're nice boys. And old boss Stevenson.
Yeah, we talked to him in Tuscaloosa.
Is he in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah. Neighbor Joey Sewell.
What a powerful fellow he was.
Good football player. Did you play football at St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Reagan, Stevenson and Joey Sewell. That was convenient there, right in the same time.
Yeah.
Alabama had some great ball teams there. Had the Sewells and Stevenson and a couple others. Right?
Did you get Joel Evans?
No.
He's a doctor in Meridian, I think, Mississippi.
He was an infielder, wasn't he?
Outfielder.
Elmer Smith was.
Yeah, Elmer.
He was pretty close to Joe Evans, was that? I think they mentioned him.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No,
I met Elmer back in France during the war. He was with the mortuary outfit in France. I met Elmer over there.
Yeah. How much time did you put in overseas?
Oh, let's see. 14 months, I think. 14, 15 months. It sure slows you up.
Yeah. I had to get a picture of you two talking. I got proof. So, did that affect your career any?
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah, it slowed me up.
Did you get wounded on there?
I was gassed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gassed in Belgium. Yeah, well, yes, it slowed me up quite a bit. In fact, nearly all the ball players were put in active action, you know.
Yeah.
Slowed them up.
Yeah.
Bound to. Mm-hmm. To carry that rifle along, weighed about 9 pounds, you know. and all the stuff that you go through. You don't play ball during that time either, you know.
Well, when did you come back? In 19?
19, yeah.
Did you play ball at all for a while there?
No, I went back to, the next year I went back to Cleveland, but the Sailors. I still belong. That's the year they won the pennant, yeah. 1920.
You're still their property, though?
I'm still their property,
did
yeah.
Did you play with some minor?
Yeah, team? Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah, they loaned me to Oakland. Then I went back up there. In 2023, I came back.
Yeah, you had a parts of 22 and 23, you're up there. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you play much ball after then on the coast again?
Not very much. I played with Oakland, finished with Oakland, up until 1927.
Well, you played then when Averill and those guys were the Seals?
The Seals, yeah.
Quite a far
oh,
house.
Oh, I tell you, that had a good ball club. Gilbert and
Roy Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, good ball club. That was a good league.
Yeah.
Of course, it was a good league.
Who was your manager at Oakland?
Ivan Howard. Well, he was at the St. Louis Browns in Cleveland.
Where did he play?
He's an infielder, second baseman. His brother Dale was with the Cubs for years. He didn't know his name, but Ivan Howard, you know. Oh, yeah, he was with the Browns for a while.
How would you play out here in the coach? When you were, say, playing the Seals, you didn't have the same ballpark, did you? Oakland had their own.
No, Oakland had their own ballpark. What they used to do on Thursday, whoever was visiting would play in Oakland Thursday afternoon and Sunday morning in San Francisco, too. No, Sunday morning in Oakland. Thursday and Sunday morning, we played in Oakland, and we go to San Francisco.
Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, yeah. That was a big deal. Yeah, it was very good. A lot of people come out to see it on Sunday morning.
You'd have long series, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Go one place
over 200 there. Games.
Yeah.
We played way over 200 games, yeah.
Did Tony Lazzari have his big year?
Yeah, with Salt Lake, yeah.
Now, how about Paul Strand? He had a great
Paul Strand. He was breaking my hand.
Oh, what happened there?
Well, the ball was thrown up the line, see? And Paul was coming down, and I reached in to get the ball and hit him. Broke my wrist in 3-4 places. For a long time, I couldn't use that hand.
He had a great year, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
And then he couldn't do a thing in there.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Number of players that fit that category, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is mental, you know. They get up there with the biggies and you start thinking about it instead of going right along like they used to. Because he had everything for him.
Was he with Salt Lake, too?
Yeah.
There's something about the atmosphere up there where you help
light.
Those hitters.
You have to get over the fence with your fist. You know,
I like to play in Denver.
Yeah, it's high.
Mm-hmm. As a Lazzari had 60 home runs there, I guess.
Yeah.
Never was
and Earl Sheely and Bunny Brief.
Bunny Brief.
Remember him?
Tony. Glenn Wright had some stories about Bunny Brief.
Yeah. Look at it.
In Traverse City, Michigan.
Yeah, his name was Griefalowski.
Was that right? Griefalowski.
Griefalowski. Well, a lot of those Polish fellows cut their names down, you know.
Where he got the bunny from.
I don't know. He's
very masculine.
Well, he's a good-looking guy.
Well, who were some of the stars of the Coast League? Others?
Well, let's see. Mayles.
Oh, Dustin Mayles.
Yeah.
He was out of Cleveland in 1920, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He won the pennant for him. He just passed away a year or two ago, a couple years ago.
Do you know Jimmy O'Donnell?
Oh, yeah.
Or O'Connell.
O'Connell, yeah. That's a tragic thing.
Did he ever talk much about that?
No. No.
We passed through Bakersfield, and I was thinking I'd stop talking, but I imagine he wouldn't want to talk.
No, that was a terrible thing.
Oh, it was. He was just there. He was,
yes,
and,
he did.
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't have done it, but he didn't really know what he was doing.
No, of course not.
And Landis was kind of...
Landis was a rough one.
I suppose that kind of thing happening so soon after the Black Sox made Blanis, you probably overreact, I suppose.
What about Czar? He was one, believe me.
I'll never have another one.
No, not like him.
Did you bet against Walter Johnson?
Yeah.
Was that an experience?
Yes, it was. I'm not mistaken. I think I did pretty well against him. In fact, Rick Owens is umpire, and I was hitting pretty good. Line drive, but at somebody. And I said, what's the matter with Rick? I'm hitting everybody right at somebody. He said, well, you're hitting the ball too good. It's too good. The ball come over too good. See, I didn't know anything about that. Jack Green was an unknown critic, Johnson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He would choke up, I guess. Place it around the field.
No, Jack usually get either two base hit or a three base hit. Then there was Charlie Jameson.
Really
he took Graney's place.
I guess it's their dad that used to say about Jameson. We grew up in Cleveland, you see. That's why I have particular interest in talking to you because I didn't see you play. I didn't follow the Indians then, but I knew something about their history. Your father used to see them in the 20s when Jameson, he said, would bunt the ball down the first baseline and keep it right between his legs as he went down. He could place the bunch of
them. That was a great ballpark. That 66
in Lexington.
Lexington. That was a good ballpark.
I don't know if the pitchers liked that right field wall too well, but.
Well, that was a great hitting ballpark. There was no signage or anything. Everything was green.
Yeah.
Very good.
No seats in center field. There was less center, but you wouldn't lose the ball.
No, it was. Had a good background.
Yeah, I enjoyed being there. It's right at the heart of a ghetto right now, you know.
Yeah, I guess it is. I remember we used to go through Wade Park in those days. I guess you don't dare do that now. That's all.
Is that where you stayed when you...
No, I stayed on 55th in Lexington. There's a hotel there. I remember the old Pennsylvania Railroad right
there,
by it.
Yeah. That's changed, I guess.
Oh, I bet it has.
You know George Ewing?
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
He lives in the Bay Village just outside Cleveland.
Well, I think Mondi lives in Lakewood.
Yes, Lakewood.
Lakewood.
That's where I was born and raised.
Huh?
I actually interviewed Mondi back in the 1930s when I was writing for my junior high school newspaper. I didn't know what I was doing then.
Yeah, he's a very fine man.
Yulee had a lot of good years and some bad years yet, aren't there? He went to Bonesetter Reefs all the time down there in Youngstown.
Yeah. He was a good hitter, too.
Yeah,
sure.
I think he was more proud of his hitting than his pitching.
Yeah, he's a very good hitter. He used to pitch hit quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was nice. And Jim Bagby, Kowaleski, and Ed Kutfer.
You weren't with them, of course, in the World Series anymore.
No.
See all those wild plays that happened then.
No, I wasn't there.
And when Chapman got hit too. Yulee said that Ray Caldwell got struck by lightning.
Right. Top of his cap, and you could see the sparks come out of his spikes. Yeah, they tell that story. I told it several times. Other people look at it, they must be nuts. Well, I was right, because there's a rubber, see, out there, see? Stand on the rubber, and I guess there's a little metal. You used to have a little metal button on the top of your cap. I'm trying to think of even. Oh, Fritz Coombe was a left-hander we had.
He lived out here, didn't he, down south? He's dead now.
Fritz, I don't think he lived out here.
I got a directory of the party. I get my stuff where they live.
I think of another left-hander. Sherwood Smith.
Oh.
Sherwood Smith. He had a move that wouldn't be allowed today. First base.
How's that?
A move to first base.
He
dare get off there foot. He got you.
Yeah.
But they don't allow it today.
Did you work on pickoff plays with the pitchers?
No, I didn't. Didn't have to. No. This... The difference I find today is there's more stars on one club, whereas in the old days it'd be one, maybe one or two, so it stood out. But this day, you find four or five on one ball club. And of course, the ball being more lively, I think, had a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, I'll swing for the fences now.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do.
Jameson.
We had about 15 or 18 nephews right here.
Oh, boy.
And it's a beautiful town here. This used to be nothing but an apple orchard, this right here. When I was a youngster, population is about 2,000, but we never locked any doors or anything. Never. Times have changed.
It's a nice town.
Hmm?
It's a nice town.
Yes, it is.
How did you, any other pitchers you remember batting against?
Herbert Shopper, Red Faber.
A little spitballer.
Yeah, I can hit spitball. I broke in against spitball pitcher. Bill Steen. Well, he was in Cleveland years ago, and he was out. He finished up out here. Steen, Seaton, Crap, Harkness. And that was a great pitcher. I mean, Portland's pitching staff, very, very good. Dean Gregg.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great one.
Was he on the way down then, or the way up, or in between?
No, he was on his way up. Then he went to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And then there was Gus Fisher. He went to Cleveland, catcher. I think he went to Cleveland. Homer Hayworth.
Did you know Roger Peckinpah?
Well, I met him. I didn't know him very well.
He came over later on than
Yeah, he was in Portland, too.
That's right, he was very early.
Well, there was Olson, Bancroft, Peckinpah, Rich Short. He used to have Rich Shortstop, McCready.
How about Wade Hoyt? You got it against Wade?
No.
How'd you like the umpires? Any of them stand out in your mind?
Yeah, I like them all. Hildebrand was from out here, you know, in San Francisco. And Penny Conley, Evans, Rick Owens, Bill Guthrie. Oh boy, he was a dandy.
I'll
never forget in Salt Lake, he was umpiring out here. And I disputed his decision. I put my hand on my hand and said, listen, Louis, remember this. The clothes of the umpire are as sacred as the robes of the Pope. I never forgot it. Oh, he was a dad. He was a good umpire, too. Excellent umpire.
Did he ever put you out of the game anyway?
No, never put out of the game.
Yeah.
No.
That's quite an achievement.
Oh, that's it. Well, I tell you, I had a lot of respect for umpires, but that's a tough job. Yeah. You can't please them all, you know. But this one particular, it stuck out. I'll never forget it.
Did Silk O'Loughlin?
Yeah.
He came out here.
No, he was back there. Byron come out here.
Bill Byron.
Yeah. Used to throw that indicator up all the time. Yeah. Can't hit the ball with the bat on your shoulder. That's well, he was a good umpire, too.
Sheridan?
No, he wasn't. O'Day and Sheridan, I think, were through then.
Yeah. Sheridan, I think. Yeah, he's passed away then. The Coast League, some of these player umpires started out here that went up then, I guess, Guthrie and stuff.
Well, Guthrie and Hildebrand, Pinelli. Dave Pinelli lives over in Sonoma.
Oh, Sonoma that County. Is?
Boy Springs.
Is that very far from here?
No, it's 12 miles. 12 miles. He was up there for, he was a good umpire. Good ball player, yes, he was.
What was his real name? Is that it?
Pallinelli.
Took out a couple syllables.
Rinaldo Pallinelli. Well, the newspaper men do that, you know, they cut it up. It's too long for them.
I remember an old friend named Asbjorn Jornsson who became Asby.
Who?
Somebody named Asbjorn Jornsson, some Norwegian, so I don't know who he played for, but somebody told me that story. He was up briefly. Asbjorn Jornsson. Some letter just ASBY dropped off.
Oh.
Past the thing. So, well, did you have any humorous incidents you recall on the baseball field either?
Not very many.
Coach leg, something funny seems to be happening all the time. Crazy plays.
Well, I saw one play that Mickey Cochran made when he was in Portland. Scoring, and the catcher was down to catch and receive the ball. He jumped over onto the plate. It was quite a feat. No, that's, I don't see very many of them. Oh, one funny thing up in Salt Lake, we were going very badly and scoring any runs. And what they did was pile the bats up in a tiki form, you know, get some newspaper, put it on, then start a fire.
Any big thrills that stand out in your mind, baseball? Have any big days? Or
no.
Any great plays?
No, I think it was kind of routine. I broke in my first ball pitch. Luckily hit it over the fence, yeah.
With Portland, huh?
Yeah, when I broke in. Mm-hmm. That's about the way I broke in.
Yeah, it's a break in.
It was, yeah, it was quite a fail there.
What, that wasn't Multnomah Park, was it?
No, it was over in San Francisco.
Oh, interesting.
See, that was one of the, see, we played over in, Oakland played in San Francisco except Thursday and Sunday morning. See, San Francisco was the big one. Then we play Sunday morning, then we take the ferry and go over and play in the afternoon. Ferry boats.
Down in L.A., there were, Vernon had a team down there?
Vernon, yeah.
And Hollywood didn't have
that. No, there wasn't no Hollywood then.
And L.A.
And the ballpark in Los Angeles was right directly in town. I can't remember the street, Hill Street, I think.
Would that be the Wrigley Park, or was that a...
No, Wrigley, oh, that's afterwards. Well, this, when I played there, the ballpark was right in the center of town.
And I don't...
That land would be... I couldn't buy it better, of course. Then over left field fence, the studio, the television had, not television, but the movie studios had a wild animal thing that they used in their pictures. Right over left field fence.
What did you do in the off season when baseball days?
Well,
hunting, fishing?
Yeah, I did a lot of them. Up fishing quite a bit up in Klamath. We got to understand. There really wasn't anything to do in a small town. Everybody had
I would
a job.
Give you a job because you're going to be playing ball next year, is that it?
No, that's about it. Because they wanted anyway, they wanted permanent.
Yeah. With your training, though, at school, you might have had some opportunities there.
Yeah.
Did you know Carl Mays? He lived up in Oregon.
Yeah, he's from Portland. No, I didn't know him. He was pitching at the time, though. Carl Mays is... Yeah, at that time, when I knew him, he was up at Boston. Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
Ruth.
They had a great pitcher.
Ruth
staff.
And Mays.
Ernie Shore. And
yeah.
Bedian.
Joe Wood. Joe Wood after he came to Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. Lost his pitching, man. Lost his pitching, though.
Yeah.
He can't get any. We talked to Ernie Shore down there in North Carolina. It's the perfect game, you know, in 1970. But they had a great pitching staff, the Red Sox. And Frazee sold them all in. Well, how about after baseball, what did you do then?
Well, I went, I coached at St. Mary's, coached baseball there for a number of years. Then I operated the student store. Put bookstore and garage and inns. That kept me pretty busy. Then I retired in about 1960.
Today, it was not scheduled, really. We spent last night in Lodi, which is about 110 miles away, I guess. Where? Petaluma?
Petaluma,
California. Huh?
Petaluma.
I put an N in it, I think.
I think there's only two.
This is a little bit north of San Francisco. KOA campground here on Route 101 or something like it. On Saturday night, June 24th, we had this interview with Louis Guisto earlier today. It was not scheduled, really. We spent last night in Lodi, which is about 110 miles away, I guess. And we drove on over this morning on a lovely day, and we thought we'd try Napa, where Guisto lives. And if not Napa, then up to Boys Springs, where Pinelli lives, or Glen Ellen, where Mark Koenig lives. Then we thought we'd maybe come over here after that, or else come over here before that and go back and make the interviews later. We weren't quite sure what the plan would be. But we got into Napa and got out to Guisto's house about 10:45, and he wasn't there. The garage was empty, and the spray was going in the front lawn. I went up and knocked on the door, no answer. A gentleman from across the street came over and said that he saw we were from West Virginia, and he wanted to make sure we knew what the story was, so he said Guisto had gone out shortly before and should be back very soon. And even though he was in his 80s, he was in good shape physically and would be disappointed if we hadn't seen him. I don't know about that. So we thought about it. Then we went into town and got something to eat. We hadn't eaten much. We went into the flowered bakery, I guess it was. Had some coffee and donuts. Then came back out, and it was about 11:30 now, and I talked to somebody else who said he should be back. We waited out in the car. We were going to leave after about 10 minutes, but he pulled in about then, and the gentleman next door came rushing out to tell him that there were some visitors from West Virginia, which didn't seem to thrill him greatly, but he acknowledged us and invited us in. And he was kind of rushed. He's a very ill sister, and he had other things to do. But he could give us a little bit of time, so we sat down there about 11:30 and had the half-hour tape, the other side of this tape. It wasn't much to it, but at least I talked to him, and I heard him. He signed the ball, and we got a couple pictures. Now, could you describe the house?
It was a stone house with a little porch-like affair coming out in front, veranda type thing, that was covered with ivy that was thicker than your arm, the stalks.
You said you could take off the porch pillars and the ivy stalks would hold up the roof.
Yeah. And inside the house was very nicely furnished, actually. Not modern by any means, but traditional furniture, and pictures all over of nieces and nephews. I think he has 15 nephews living in Napa alone. In the dining room, it was a traditional dining room thing with a lace tablecloth on it, a plastic tablecloth on top of that. And the sideboard, or the buffet, was loaded with liquor bottles. And so were all the ashtrays loaded with, they had all been used. And then that little kitchen or den, whatever it was piled high with papers and books and looked like your type of journal, whatever was in it. Maybe does bookkeeping on the side or something.
A little bit of clutter out there in the back rooms.
But not in the living room.
No.
It was except for the pictures, which were all over Kingdom Come. And of course, they must be Catholic because they have the Madonna and Child up there and a crucifix. And has no children of his own. Whether he was married or not, we never did find out. But he has a, we know one younger sister and one older sister. And the younger sister has 6 grandchildren or something. And that's when he said he had 15 to 18 nephews in the valley in Napa.
The front of the house is covered with bushes and trees and shrubbery. You can hardly see the house. And I walked around the back where this other gentleman spoke to me, and it looked rather cluttered in back with bushes and trees. I didn't see any lawn or anything. Maybe he's got an orchard and some vines of his own out there. He's
very good health for his age.
He didn't look 83. He's a little hunched over, very stout. He always was stout. Gray-haired, rather firm features and a firm manner. I remembered his pictures back in the 20s with a mustache. He seemed so unusual wearing a mustache then. I think I did. He didn't have one now. But he still was recognizable, though, as I recall those old pictures.
But he didn't even tell any good stories after we left. I mean, after the tape went off. Well, no, I think he was surprised that you left as soon as it switched off.
Oh, you do? Why?
I don't know. I just got that impression. That he was surprised you were ready to leave.
Well, I felt that he wanted me to leave. That it was kind of an imposition coming in like that. And I said, do you have some time? He said, well, a few minutes. And I said, well, he said, how much time? I said, maybe an hour. And he looked at his wife and said, well, just an hour. So from that clue, I felt imposed to take a half an hour. I didn't think he was... unhappy to quit then. The living room was dark. There were no lights on in there. We did take a couple pictures. I hope they came out, but there wasn't much illuminated. Kind of gloomy in a way.
But he didn't have any pictures of himself.
He just had one of those cutout posted postboard ones.
When he played it open?
Yeah, you know, it was standing up. Which was over in the mantelpiece. That was all he had.
Of course, he wasn't up that long, was he?
No, he played quite a few years in the Coast League, though. He had his career ran over 10 or 12 years. Although, but he was lost some time in the war. I guess I had heard that he'd been gassed in the war, and this really affected his career. Then he had a couple of injuries, too, at the time somebody ran into him there and broke his hand. So he had some... misfortunes would certainly affected his career. It didn't seem to have too much of a sense of humor. I don't know that I expected this, but it was pretty cut and dry, the whole business. So I didn't really have any desire to drag it out much longer. Covered the ground as best we could in half an hour, I guess. That's probably the longest interview he's ever had, I suppose. That's about the shortest one I've had.
And I think we've covered the ground on him.
We got about 20 minutes to go on this side. Well, after we left him, it was around 12:15 or so. We drove into Sonoma, which was Thornton Lee's hometown, whom we interviewed a couple of days ago. No, a couple of weeks ago, I guess. Before Palm Springs. And... we found Sonoma a very attractive town, quite historic, a plaza that looked like a real Spanish laid out town, much like Santa Fe had been, with these low-storied buildings circumventing the square, some historic buildings. They have the monument where the Bear Flag Republic was raised back in 1846, the announcing the independence of California, which was promptly repudiated by the United States. For a brief month or so, there was a independent state of California. That's on the square. It's the home of Vallejo. I never knew who he was.
The founder of Sonoma.
I didn't.
And he was the one who was governor or whoever, whatever it was, when they raised the bear flag.
I see.
And the mission there is the northernmost mission in the Mission Trail.
That would have been nice to see that mission. I'm sorry we didn't, but what happened was we got a little concerned about a place to stay. And the other interviews, I tried to call Babe Pinelli and got all kinds of a runaround there. Never could find him. It was along about 2 o'clock. We decided to find a place to stay and then maybe see Sonora better, more completely. They had a winery we wanted to go through. But the one motel in town was taken, so we drove over here. By the time we got here, we got all set up. We just didn't feel like going back there. So.
Everything would have been closed anyway.
Yeah, well, we might have barely made it, but it probably would have been time for a tour of the winery. We could have seen, but so we probably should have done something else, but that's the way it worked out. We didn't get the Pinelli interview, and Mark Koenig has got his name in the phone book, but I don't know that we'll be able to see him. We've got to get going home one of these days, and I think we're going to start tomorrow as we go farther north and west.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We keep getting farther away from home as we go home. But we gotta go farther away to start back. It's the only way we can do it. Unless you wanna cross the great, what did Sherlock Holmes call that? The Great Alkali Desert or something. And the scandal in Bohemia or whatever it was. So I guess that's about it on the Louis Guisto interview. Wasn't the greatest interview, but I did satisfy a desire I'd long had to meet Louis Guisto. Anything else?
Nope.
Tomorrow it's on the road up north, and maybe we'll have a great interview with Joe Oscar, who's probably 88.
Oh, God.
In Ferndale. But he pitched in that long game. We'll see, but that's all for this time.
Well, that's a good while back.
Yeah. When was it?
You mean professionally?
Yeah. Minor leagues first.
Minor leagues? Well, I broke in 1914, the minor league.
Uh-huh.
And then I played there for...
Where'd you play?
An old Central League.
Oh, yeah? Not far from here, huh?
No, just right over here. It's first Springfield, Dayton, Springfield, Wheeling, Evansville.
Uh-huh.
They were in that league then.
Uh-huh.
And then I went from there up to... Well, I didn't break in there. I upgraded up at Saginaw, the old Southern Michigan League.
Right.
Ducky Holmes, he was the manager of the Saginaw team. So I went up there with him. And then after that, after they quit up there, I went over to Detroit. And I belonged to Detroit for a couple of years, and they sent me over to Springfield over here in the old Central League. And...
Did you play under Huey Jennings up there?
Yes.
How'd you like Huey Jennings?
Oh.
Pretty tough manager?
No, he didn't have nothing much to say to me. I was just a youngster, you know.
What'd Ty Cobb tell you?
Well, I'll tell you what. Ty Cobb told me one day I was pitching batting practice. After I finished, I just happened to finish with him. See?
Uh-huh.
And he walked over to me and he said, kid, he said, you got a good fastball, you're pretty hard to follow. And he said, someday they'll be reading about you. So you see, you never can tell.
He was right, huh?
Then I spent a couple of years in the old Central League over at Springfield. And then finally I drifted off and went out in the Western League, and I was out there a couple of years, and
Out in Denver, huh?
Denver. Mm-hmm. Then I came back to Cincinnati and was with Cincinnati. I pitched one game down here at Cincinnati. And they left me go, and then I went up to the Steel League up at Massillon. And in 1919, I went back out in the Western League, and it's been so long ago. I
have your record here.
Do you?
Yeah, you had, that was 1919. Now Kansas City and Tulsa, and you had one.
Kansas City, yes.
Real good year, 21-5.
21-5. I started to pitch for Kansas City on the second day of July. I pitched my first game for them. Second day of July, and I pitched 21 games.
Is that right? Every third day,
yeah,
almost.
I won 21 for them. Yeah. 21 out of 26.
And then the Cardinals bought you, huh?
And Ricky came out there.
I see.
And he went up in the office and... Mr. Muhlenbeck then owned the Kansas City Club, and he said, Mr. Muhlenbeck, he said, you want to sell this fellow Haynes? And he said, yes, I'll sell him. He said, how much do you want for him? He said, $10,000. He said, I'll take him. So I went to that's the way I got into the big leagues.
Uh-huh.
I always give Ricky credit for giving me a chance for the majors because they bought me and paid for me and had to scrape. St. Louis didn't have any money.
Uh-huh.
He came, told me one time coming riding on the railroad or train coming back from New York, I think it was. Or going to New York, he said, I didn't have $10,000. He said, I didn't know where I was going to get $10,000. And he said, I came back from St. Louis or Kansas City to borrow $10,000 to pay for you, and nobody even give me $10,000. So he said, and that's the way Braden came into the picture then out there at St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And...
Were there any other clubs after you with that good year?
Yeah, there were several clubs out there.
I think so.
But Ricky beat them.
Uh-huh.
To me. And
well, you started in right away with some good years there. St. Louis, yeah.
Well, I didn't have a very good year the first year. We had a terrible ball club.
Who was on it that first year? Do you remember anybody?
First year?
Yeah.
We had Fournier. And
he was your first baseman?
First baseman.
Uh-huh.
Hornsby was second.
Oh, that's pretty good second baseman.
LeVan, Johnny LeVan was shortstop. Milton Stock, third base. Jack Smith in the outfield. I just don't know who the other fellows were, but we was a kind of a ball club. We made enough runs, but we give the fellows more than we could make.
Uh-huh.
So.
Who were some other pitchers? Do you remember any other pitchers then?
With us, yeah. Bill Doak.
Is he the spitballer?
Marvin Goodwin, a spitter too.
Uh-huh.
Billy Shirdell.
Oh. Wee Willie.
You know some of the rest of them? He was with me.
You married then, were you?
Oh, yeah.
What?
We married 15.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my.
You married a minor league ball player who made the Hall of Fame, huh?
Over 50 years. Oh, yeah.
But it was, I had a bad year the first year, but then I started to go on, and I went pretty good for a couple of years, and then I had another bad year. And things started going pretty good from then on. But we had a good ball club. We started getting together a good ball club.
What was Hornsby like to play behind you? Or?
Oh, he was all right.
Did he ride you much? Or?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. He was the kind of a fellow that that Hornsby knew what you could do almost, and he'd never say anything to you.
Uh-huh.
But as long as you...
Did you mention Alexander?
Huh?
Did you mention...
I was going to ask him about that.
Alexander,
manager?
Alexander. You haven't said anything about Alexander
Pete.
Being on your...
Alec.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He came on a little later. Probably.
He came on in 25. Mm-hmm. He came over from Chicago in 1925, him and Pablo Farrell.
Well, Farrell was the most valuable player in the league that year. Or was it the next year, I guess?
26.
26 when you won the... Well, you achieved another great distinction in 1924.
No hit game.
How'd that feel?
Well,
tell me a little bit about that game.
Yeah, I remember that very well. Casey Stengel was the last fellow I got out.
Huh? Really?
Casey Stengel.
Let's just forget it. He's still going, you know, and he's fried.
You
see
him
every year.
Oh, is that right?
Casey was a pretty good ball player.
Well, did you... how did that game go? I mean, did you feel real good that whole game? And
yes.
Were there any near hits or anything like that?
No, I felt pretty good that whole ball game. It was a day out there that they had reserved for the... Tuberculosis Association, and they sell it out to that association, and they handle it all. See, and it just happened to be on that day.
A pretty big crowd then, huh?
For that time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Strike out a lot of batters that day, or
no? I never struck out so many.
What was your best pitch?
Well, I just hit the fastball on the curve and change of pace.
And that day they were all working.
Your knuckleball.
Not then.
Oh. Uh-huh. You didn't have it yet then.
Well, they were all working that day, though. The ones you had, huh?
They were all working pretty good.
What were your feelings in that last inning or so? You knew you had a no-hitter going?
Well, I knew it, yes, but I kept bearing down.
Did it make you nervous at all, or didn't you get nervous out there?
Well, I couldn't say that it did.
Did the team tell you much about it, or did they talk much on the bench that you had a no-hitter going, or didn't they talk about things like that?
No.
They all knew it, though.
Well, I presume, yes, they did. Of course, that's been a long time ago.
What did Stengel do? Did he do anything his last at bat? Did he do much, or just...
Who?
Casey. How'd you get Casey out for the last man? I don't remember that.
Well, I just pitched to him just like I always did, and he hit a nice ground ball down to Hornsby at second base. And that was it.
Did they rush out to greet you at all, or?
Oh, yeah.
I guess they did.
Did you see that game?
Yes, is it?
Oh, you can tell us about it.
She can tell you more about it than I.
Well, I just think there was a lot of the wives were sitting together, you know. And especially my one friend, that was it was eighth inning. And the lady's name was Ethel. She said she heard somebody say behind her, she said, well, he hasn't given up a hit yet. And so she asked me whether... I didn't know whether to say yes or no, because I felt I didn't want to say anything, because I never said anything when the ball game was going on. Especially when Jess was pitching, I never would say a word. And she asked me, I said yes. so far, he has no hit game. And, of course, I was very, very nervous, too, about it, you know.
Probably more nervous than he was.
Yeah. But he came through, and they just couldn't, the other women, they didn't know it, and they just couldn't believe it, you know, they had gone that far. But I was terribly uptight, oh, they say, be uptight, but I sure was uptight.
How did he seem after the game?
Oh, just like Dr. Always.
No, no.
He's not the one that, you know, makes a lot of death. Uh-huh. Over. He's just got that kind,
Well, in the 1926 World Series, then, that was a great series, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a great series.
So you won, you pitched two complete games then, huh?
I won, I beat them out in St. Louis 4-0. And then I started the seventh game in New York, and that's when Ellick relieved me. And he won 3-2, won the game 3-2. I was ahead 3-2 when I went out.
Now, is that the time he struck out Lazzari?
Struck out Lazzari, yeah.
Now, what's the story? Was he out all night the night before, living it up, or...?
Well, I wouldn't want to answer that because I don't know.
Uh-huh. That was a story, wasn't it?
He
didn't expect to pitch that day.
He never did go out all night, and I don't think he was out all night.
But he wasn't expecting to pitch, I guess. And he had pitched the day before, was that it?
Anyways. He pitched the day before, uh-huh, and beat him 7-2. Mm-hmm. And then I started the next day and was ahead of him 3-2 in the seventh. And then they got the bases full and two out. And Hornsby took me out and brought him in.
What did Hornsby say? Do you remember when he took you out? Did he say anything or...?
Well, I had to roll the skin off my fingers here. Of course, I was throwing a knuckler then.
Uh-huh. That was cold.
And, he took me out and brought in Ellick. And he wasn't in too bad a shape. Ellick was a kind of a fellow that he kept all his everything to himself. If he wanted to go get a few drinks, well, he'd get them and then go to himself. Mm-hmm. And he never caused anybody any trouble. All this stuff you read in the papers about him, well, there's Bush for a lot of it.
Tell them about the time they said that about him, you know, that he was out here working on the railroad.
Oh,
or something.
Yes. I after I was out of baseball, I was elected to office down here, and one day they called me up from over to the paper, sports writer, and said to Jess, said, Ellick's in the on the railroad gang over here, cooking for the railroad gang. No, I don't believe it. Well, he's over there. I was over there this morning. I said, I don't care whether you was over there or who was over there. Ellick's no cook. He said, would you ride over with me? I said, I sure will. He said, well, I'll pick you up. So he drove through the alley and picked me up, and we drove over, and the railroad gang, you know, they got two or three cars along the railroad where they sleep and cook and eat and so forth. And I said, I'm going to drive down along the railroad here and stop. And I'll holler for him to come to the window. you can see whether it's Ellick or not. Well, it won't be Ellick, I know that. I said, you get him to that window, I'll tell you whether it's Ellick or not, and then I'll come over. So he called and drove over and stopped and hollered, Ellick! Oh, Ellick! Fella come up to the window and to the door, you know, he's got a door, car door. Started talking. I got out of the door and got out of the car and walked over, and there he stood. And you know what? The sucker just called me right by name. And I said to him, now look, you're just an imposter, that's all you are. You're no more Alexander than I'm Alexander. And I said, you know what he was doing? They were bringing baseballs there for him to sign for $1 apiece. And he was signing Ellick's name. So I told the press down here was there with, you know, he was there. And he said, I know he wasn't Alexander, but he said, I wanted to make sure. So I said, well, I said, you know it isn't Ellick. Yeah, he says, I know it isn't Ellick. So he said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll go back in a couple of days and see if he's still there. So it was about 3 or 4 days, and I got a call from up at Osgood up here. Same guy. And they said, Jess, you know Alexander's up here cooking for a gang? I said, no, that's not Alexander. I said, you'd better just tell him to get out up there. As soon as I can see the commissioner, I'm going to get him. But that's the last I ever heard of him. So when I went up to where did we go?
I don't know where to go. I'm lost.
I saw the commissioner and I told him about it. He says, if I ever hear of him, I'll take care of him. But I don't think they ever heard any more about him. Uh-huh. Some fellow, he was signing the baseballs, you know, for $1.
When would this have been? In the late 1930s or so?
Huh?
When would this have been? After you're out of baseball,
yes.
In the late 30s or?
Oh, it was in the
40s maybe? It
has to be in the 40s, wouldn't it?
It must have been in the 40s.
Okay.
But he was in the office downtown.
Well, I was down in the office and
he was auditor down to the office for, how many terms? Four? How many terms were you in the auditor? How many terms was you in the auditor? Four years with each term.
I was in there 7 years, seven terms.
Seven terms, that's what I
thought. Oh, it must have been around the first couple of terms I was down there.
Well, what was it like pitching to Babe Ruth?
Well, I'll tell you, Babe was a wonderful. He was a wonderful hitter. He was a great hitter. There was no question about that. But I pitched to him just like I'd pitch to anybody else.
That shutout you pitched, did you get him out pretty well that time?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How about Gehrig?
They got 4 hits off of me, I think, in that game.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who got them anymore.
Uh-huh.
But
they were a team.
The Yankees are, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was Murderer's Row.
All right.
But,
well, I don't think that, I see that the commissioners told him to play Aaron at Cincinnati. I don't know whether they will or not.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he won't get hit on purpose down there.
Why'd they trade Hornsby for Frisch?
Why did they?
Did Hornsby get a fight with Breeden, was at it, or Ricky, or... Do you remember that?
No, Ricky wasn't there then.
Hmm. Well, he must have gotten... Here he was... he had a great year, I guess, and then... Was that after the 26th season,
I think?
I think
that...
Yeah, for Frankie Frisch, I guess.
I think they got into it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never did hear why they made that trade. Braden?
It's a pretty even up trade, I guess. Would you say Hornsby is better than Frisch, or?
Well, I'll tell you, I wouldn't put the turn my hand for the difference. Uh-huh. Frisch was a good ball player, and so was Hornsby. Uh-huh.
We're going to be missing him going there to see him.
Yeah.
Do you see many of the old ball players?
No. Well, we haven't been able to go down since Savannah. This hasn't been well enough in the last few years. But we went down there, though, quite often.
What was your best year?
27.
That was a year you didn't win the pennant.
24 and lost 10.
And they didn't win the pennant, though, that year, huh?
No.
Where'd you finish? Second? Or how'd the team do in 27?
They won second, I think.
The Pirates beat you out, huh? And who was on your... What was your team that year? Who were the Cardinals?
No.
Yeah. What was the lineup of the team?
It's hard of hearing
when you get that. Yeah. What was the Cardinals lineup in those 26, 27, 28, those years? And they won two pennants. And
Bottomley.
Oh, Bottomley. Yeah.
Frisch.
Was Sparky Adams in that?
Was Hafey in
that? Who's playing shortstop for us?
In what year?
26, 27, 28.
Did you have DeRocher for a brief time?
I was thinking DeRocher was in there.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. DeRocher. Mm-hmm. He played a couple of years.
And then...
30, 29, 30, we had good ball clubs in there too.
Yeah.
31.
How about Pepper Martin?
Oh, he was.
Is he livened the team up, huh?
Oh, he was something. He was good. He didn't care how
you know, most of those fellows are dead.
I never worried him. He was going to make it, you know. He was.
Well, DeRocher's around, and
he's still here. But
Joe Medwick, he came a little later now.
Medwick, we had Medwick.
Taylor Douthat, is he?
Douthat was here. He's still living.
He's out west, I guess, huh?
Come back.
He's out in Oakland.
Mm-hmm. who died was...
He had Ernie Orsatti. I guess he wasn't regular, though, was he?
Right there, the hayfay.
Orsatti.
His wife and a week drive to St. Louis.
The Gas House Gang, is that really a rough,
no,
rough crew?
They just call them that.
Some Columbus.
Nice bunch of boys.
Who was your catcher?
Jimmy Wilson.
Uh-huh.
Will Ferrell. Mancuso.
Oh, Mancuso, I think of, yeah.
Gonzalez caught me my no-hit game.
Oh, is that right? Mike, huh?
They had a little boy who's come to him, as you know. He wasn't part of that. Often wonder, you know, about those little ones that what
they're doing and
everything. Of course, he was much, well, quite a bit older than his wife, you know. Gonzalez. Too much money today. Yeah. Yeah, they don't play ball because they like it much anymore.
They play for the money.
Yeah. Did you ever have any whole contract disputes with Breeden at all? Or did you hold
only,
out any?
Only one time I had a little bit, but not much anything. Uh-huh.
What did you do in the off seasons in those years?
Well, I...
Go hunting?
Well, we had a garage, too.
Oh.
And he worked in the garage some in the wintertime.
You owned the garage?
Mm-hmm. We built it.
Mm-hmm. Owned a garage up here on the corner and had that.
It's still up there. It's still up, but not a garage. It's another young man.
They got some other kind of a business in it now that they make plates for...
Come Do It. The conduits now, whatever that is.
Connections for televisions, those little wires, you know. Fellow's doing real good, too.
Side of it. But it was all in that one. You might say one.
I built it in 1921.
Did you run it during the summer season? Did somebody run it for you?
His brother.
Your brother ran it during the baseball season?
Yeah.
You grew up right here?
Yeah.
You were born in Phillipsburg?
I was born 3 miles down the road here.
What did your father do?
My father? Well, he was a real estate auctioneer, sales. Country sales, farm sales, and he was drove a lot of nails in the summertime. He was a carpenter.
What do you think of your going into baseball? Did he like it or not like it? Or didn't he?
Well, they didn't seem to think too much of it at first, but after I got started, I said, well, I guess it looks like he was born to do that, so...
His mother said he always was throwing stones, always throwing. He gets got a place, wasn't it a pole, telephone poles, you know. We still have telephone poles here. And telephone poles, and his mother, not his mother told him, said, yeah, he'd just go out by himself and he'd just keep going through one place, throwing stones.
Oh. That's how his control developed, huh? Yeah. Never had any control problems, huh? No control problems.
Not much.
Did you always want to be a ball player?
Awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you go to high school, play in the high school team?
I had my arm broke. I was a right-handed pitcher. And I went to the ball game one Sunday afternoon, up right over here, right back over there. And I was about 6 years old. I didn't go to the ball game. I went up there to break my arm. And I broke my arm off right there. It just hung down like that. And my dad was over to the ball game. And somebody went over there and told him, and he come over and picked me up and carried me down to the doctor down here. And the doctor laid me down there on that old sofa of his. The springs was all up through it. And I remember that just as well as it had been yesterday. He laid me down on that, and he went out in the shed and got a couple of shingles and brought them in, broke them off, put them in here up along there and along there, and then he got up on that sofa and got a hold of my arm.
The wrist.
And he pulled it, see? Pulled it back in place. Mm-hmm. And they put those shingles on here like this, on the side, outside here, see, like uh-huh. that? Uh-huh. And he took and wrapped gauze around it. Wrapped up the gauze all around it. Dad took me home and about a week or 10 days, my mother took me back down there and she told the doctor, because you're getting bowed down here, see?
Underneath.
She told the doctor, she said, "Doctor, don't you think you ought to have one of those splints on the bottom of that? Keep that straight." He said, "Well, maybe we had better put one on there." So he put one on the bottom then, see? Wrapped it, straightened it all up. And the arm's crooked, see? So, after I got all right and I got to throwing with it, I got to throwing a curve and the arm was crooked, see? And everybody said the reason I could throw a curve was my arm was crooked.
Oh, my.
Was that Dr. Brown?
Huh?
Was it Dr. Brown? Was he the dentist?
No, old Doc E. Spittler.
Oh. Of course, I didn't know about it, but that was nice. I knew there was a Dr. Brown there one time when I was a girl.
Did they have a high school team here you played on?
No.
We didn't have no high school.
They just said, just take anybody, just make a...
Who first scouted you? Who first picked you up, do you remember? Or who signed you?
Well, we had... two teams here in town, around here in the country. We call them a big team and a little team. And we played the big team and play the teams around. We had towns around here, you see. And they'd go every Sunday to one of those towns and play. So finally I grew into the big team. And I got into Dayton. I was pitching a game one day, and one Sunday afternoon, and some fellas come up from Dayton. I don't know who they were. And asked me to come in to Dayton the next Sunday, see. So I went into Dayton, and I played for a team down there called Standards. That was in 1911. And in 1912, I played for the NCR team out at the old Soldiers' Home. We call it the old Soldiers' Home, though.
In Dayton?
Yeah. And in 1913, I played for Lily Brews, a team called Lily Brews down there. And in 1914, then I went out and played.
Some of you got signed that winter?
Yeah.
To play with the Dayton professional team.
Went up to Saginaw in Michigan.
What was it like in the minor leagues in those days? Good food, good travel, good living conditions? Travel around by bus, did you?
Gosh, I don't know how we did travel around anymore. Travel around as best you could.
I think you went by train.
Huh?
I think you went by train. And he was up there in Detroit. Or Saginaw, I mean. We went through Detroit.
Yeah.
We weren't there. But I'm sure he did. It was a train. There's another way to go.
Did they put you up in good hotels? In the minor leagues? Or rooming houses? Or
any place they could put you up.
Just as folks went one time up there when he was playing up at Saginaw. And she said his dad and mother went, and so they took me too. And we went by train or else a streetcar, forget which. Or in the urban. Mm-hmm. You know, they had them at that time. It might have been in the urban instead of
even in the big league, we used to go on the road. And we'd go on the road for 15 or 20 days, and they gave us $3.50 a day to eat on. And they'd come around and give us the money, see? Now, if you ate that all up before you got home, it's too bad for you.
Was that enough for you, $3.50 a day, you think?
No.
It wasn't?
But you had to get along on that. Now, some of the hotels, the family hotel, we'd go in, sit down and eat, see? The old hotel over at Philadelphia, what they call it, the Aldine? I think it was the Aldine Hotel. We'd eat there, see, family hotel. But most of them, they just give you the money and you go and eat. These guys don't know how good they got it. And they're not satisfied if they go and get $15, $20, $30,
$40 a day to eat on. Yeah. How did you like pitching in Baker Bowl?
That is a wonderful place to pitch. Oh.
With the right field fence?
I'll tell you. I never forget the first game I ever pitched there was against Eporixie.
Yeah.
And I beat Epa 1-0.
Is that right?
And how I ever did it, I don't know. Yes, sir, I beat Epa that in Baker's Bowl 1-0.
I thought everybody hit home runs in Baker Bowl. That right field fence, or it was so short. Did you feel nervous there with that short fence, or? You didn't get nervous, huh?
I was pretty good in that bowl.
Uh-huh.
We went in there one year, we was fighting for the pennant. and went in there one year for a four-game series. And I think it was, I don't know what year it was, but Street said, I'm going to pitch you two games. And I did, and I won both of my games. I always was pretty lucky in Baker's Bowl.
What other parks did you like to pitch in? How about the polo grounds with those short foul lines?
Well, I didn't mind the polo grounds so bad. I
make them hit the center field, huh?
Cubs Park, I didn't like that too well.
Why was that? Seemed to be long fields.
What else did I have on my mind there? I was going to say something. Cincinnati, I like to pitch at Cincinnati.
Did you like Sportsman's Park? Was that a good one? Your home park?
Yeah, I didn't mind Sportsman's Park so bad.
Mind having your picture taken?
I'm not very presentable for a picture.
She's my camera girl.
That's just my excuse for coming along.
I like to get pictures of these people I'm interviewing. And I'd like to get some pictures of your mementos in there, too, after a bit here.
I had the most of those are up at the...
Cooperstown?
Cooperstown.
Yeah, I see some baseballs.
Here, you take what you want in there.
Beautiful picture.
You have your...